Adding inventory is the biggest way that you can move the needle in your business right now, right? So most of our partners that we have, most vacation rental managers currently right now, they have no inventory on their shelves, right? But they've got all these people, these shoppers, if you will, going to their website looking for inventory, and they don't have it in there. So by adding one new property, your acquisition cost on those guests is virtually zero because you already have this. Like right now, I have a property in Bethany Beach, Delaware. I had 2 weeks cancel. I jacked the rates up by 25%, and I literally booked both weeks within 12 hours. I had another cancellation a couple of weeks later. I jacked rates up again, even additional, and I had it booked within 2 hours. So again, you have this existing traffic already coming to it. So again, it's found money at this point. So every new property, we say it's like adding one property is like adding is like booking 100 guests if you look at it that way, because you're going to end up converting that.
Welcome to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast where we discuss all things hospitality, hotels, and business. You can find us online at slicktalkthepodcast.com and on every podcast listening platform.
What's up, all my Slick Talkers? This episode is brought to you by my friends at Hostfully. Now, these are the days where enough is enough with managing multiple calendars for your properties in order just to make sure you don't get double booked. And not having a website for your guests to get to know your story and book direct? You can stop stressing, at least a little bit, and check out my friends at Hostfully. Hostfully was created by hosts for hosts, and they understand the importance of centralizing operations, inboxes, calendars, and of course, keeping up with the times and the industry data. You can go to Hostfully.com, use my code SLICKTALK20 to get access to their digital guidebooks and their property management software. I use them as well, and I love the simplicity of their product. Now, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Now sit back and enjoy. All right, everybody, welcome back to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. I'm your host, Will Slickers. And again, we say this often, every guest on Slick Talk is a great guest. But I'm excited about this because this is a topic I feel like hasn't really been covered a ton. We're always talking about how to get more direct bookings, how to get this, how to set up systems, how to do this. But growing inventory, growing a portfolio and a qualified portfolio, I think is going to be an interesting one to talk about. So we have the man, the myth, the legend who has created Vintory, if you haven't heard of him. And Brooke, we are so excited to have you on the show today. Let's dive in. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Will. Big fan of the podcast. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always good to hear that we're doing some good work over here, but I'm excited just because as a property manager myself, I think I kind of told you the backstory, but we're starting over from scratch as a brand new company, 2021, and getting inventory, back in the day, I felt like maybe it was a little bit easier, but now it's just like there's so much demand and not enough inventory. So I think this is a really good fitting episode. I know I'm going to learn a lot. I know the audience is going to learn a lot, but I want to dive into your story. I think you have a really unique and fascinating story. So let's jump in the beginning where you kind of started getting into this industry.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for having me. Like everybody, I just kind of stumbled into it, right? I actually was in mortgage banking, believe it or not. And so going from mortgage banking into vacation rentals isn't necessarily a direct path, but I was in a group called YPO, Young Presidents Organization, built up a pretty successful mortgage company. And unfortunately, though, because of the 2007 kind of financial crisis, had some options, had to make some tough decisions. And I was in a group called YPO, and a guy that was in my group said, "Hey, Brooke, why don't you come help me, start a vacation rental company and, let's do it." So I thought about it, and, I was making reverse paychecks with my mortgage company. Every 2 to 3 weeks, I was making $20,000 to $30,000 paychecks to cover our payroll. And leaped into the vacation rental industry back in 2007 and founded a company called Vantage Resort Realty in Ocean City, Maryland. And just really from the start, wanted to do something a little bit different. The hospitality in Ocean City at the time was, I always joke, here are your keys, get the hell out. It was the kind of the hospitality. So I wanted to build something a little bit different. And we did that. So I took a lot of my experience from the mortgage business, you know, in the sales and marketing, and kind of incorporated that into Vantage. And we grew that company pretty quickly. So in about 5 years, we grew that company to about 500 properties under management, which I didn't really think was that big a deal until, you know, because my biggest competitor in that market was a company called Coldwell Banker, and they had 4,000 properties under management.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. for me having 500, I thought I was still small, because to me, I thought we had to get to, you know, that 4,000 number to kind of be number one. And, mm-hmm. you know, the kind of the common day, question of like, how many head of cattle do you have is, you know, how many properties do you manage? And I remember going to conferences and asking, there are people would ask me how many properties I had, and I told them 500, and, you know, a lot of them, their jaws would drop. And I didn't think it was that big a deal, but I guess I found out later that that was a lot of inventory. But So I did that for about 5 years. I learned that I really enjoyed the sales and marketing sides of things. And I didn't necessarily, I wasn't a very good operator. I wasn't a good COO or a GM, if you will. So I had an option of, selling my company Advantage to my partner. And I went down to Orlando, where I became chief business development officer for a large vacation rental company down there. Mm-hmm. Did that for another 5 years, really learned a ton as they expanded into multiple markets. And really just built up a team, and I could only focus on just that, on inventory acquisition. Like I said, did that for 5 years. And then my wife came to me and said, hey, you know, when are you actually going to live at home with us? Because I was living out of a suitcase for 10 years, you know, 5 years in Ocean City and then 5 years in Orlando. And so I had the opportunity to work for LiveRes as the VP of sales and marketing, but I could do that from home and do that remotely. So did that for another 2 years. And then we launched Ventory, and that kind of leads us to where we are today.
That's incredible. And there's so much to unpack. I'm like taking notes as you're going. I'm trying to keep up with the timeline. And I just, the one thing I've seen throughout the whole podcast, like with other guests from 3 years ago to even today, is that there's a lot of niches inside our specific niche of hospitality. That's like you chose, like a lot of people pick trust or revenue management or dynamic pricing or like, well, revenue management, dynamic pricing, same thing. But you know what I'm saying? And then you pick inventory as your number one spot, which I just find super fascinating. And I want to learn, I guess my big question as the operator side with your guys's main company that you had with 500 units, what are the differences that you're seeing operators have now than you had when you guys were growing? Like, so when you guys were scaling up to that 500 mark, is there any comparables from companies that you guys are signing on today with Ventory and how you're helping them find new qualified properties?
Well, I think that in general, just the entire industry has really grown up. And it's funny, I was at a conference with Jason Sprinkle a couple of years ago, and we kind of were chuckling. He's like, man, look at our little industry. What happened? You know what I mean? It used to be just everyone coming in flip-flops and Hawaiian shirts. And now we've got all this, you know, San Francisco metrosexuals and things. It's completely, you know, changed. So, you know, Silicon Valley was in town. So it did change a lot. So it's definitely grown up. It's become, you know, the entire industry has become more sophisticated. Back then, like, I guess when I was, you know, even pre to me starting Vantage, you know, a lot of these companies, when they would, you know, grow their inventory, it was really just word of mouth. They didn't really have any really proactive outreach. But then what I did, you know, when I started Vantage is I learned everything. Like I said, I took everything that I learned from my mortgage marketing days and I kind of incorporated to this. And that's why I think we were able to grow so fast, where, you know, Coldwell Banker, you know what they did for their inventory acquisition? They sent one postcard a year in September. That was literally their inventory acquisition strategy. We kind of lifted it up a little bit and did a little bit more proactive outreach and it worked. And I think, you know, today's, you know, kind of companies are doing that, right? They're having a more proactive approach and they're not just waiting for people to kind of call in, you know, on the inbound basis. They have to be a little bit more proactive.
No, that's really good. And I want to dive in on that postcard strategy really quickly. I know we're going to cover about five or so hacks for property managers to gain inventory, but this one we've personally attempted. It was a soft attempt. It wasn't like a huge, like we're going to throw $20,000 or whatever into this campaign. But I'm curious to know for you guys on the Ventory side, what are the differences, maybe one or two things from a good mailing campaign to a bad one that gets you like one click from a homeowner that you don't want to have sign up on your program?
Well, I mean, with direct mail, I mean, I guess there's so many different things to unpack there. I mean, the first thing, again, we'll drill into some of these, but data, right? You know, you could have the best you know, looking postcard or direct mail piece in the world. But if you're sending it to the wrong data, the wrong list, it doesn't, you know, do you a lick of good. So, you know, starting off with a good data is a big portion of it. And direct mail, the key with direct mail is consistency, though. You just have to be consistent, but it does work. Over time, you know, that consistent drip works. So often what happens, a lot of people do is they end up sending one or two postcards and they don't get a lot of responses and they just quit it. But you really need to be persistent and consistent with it. But, you know, the basics, right? You know, having a good call to action, having a good compelling offer, you know, on there, you know, give some kind of a risk guarantee. You know, just making sure that, you know, you're explaining your USPs, your unique selling propositions, your features and benefits, and then risk reversals. I'm sorry, was the word I was looking for there. And just, you have those risk reversals. So you give it, so there's really no excuse for anybody not to call and kind of dial in.
No, that's awesome. That's really good. Well, no, there's, again, still so much to unpack. So with your, let's talk about Vantage a little bit more. I just want to kind of get your perspective. With those 500 units, when you're doing the marketing sales side, was that all strictly for homeowners, or were you guys doing a lot of guest campaigns as well in order to increase the traffic of, you know, bookings and reservations and all other stuff?
Yeah. You know what? I'll be honest. We got very lucky just in the timing of like when we started. So we started it again in 2007. So yes, most of our marketing, our outreach was getting in new owners, but obviously you still got to get guests.
Yeah.
And I'll date myself. You know, I remember like starting this business, I had no idea what I was doing, you know, and I'm like, all right, well, how do we get guests? You know, Coldwell Banker has been in business for 40 years. You know what I mean? So they've got a database of guests and, you know, are just, you know, constantly coming back year after year after year. I didn't obviously have that. So my first inclination was to literally put an ad in the Washington Post and the Baltimore Sun. You know, and that was going to be my strategy to get guests. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I don't think I ever even like put one out there. Because again, this is 2007, you know, Airbnb, like I think they just launched, but they really didn't have any kind of brand at that point.
Yeah.
But there was a little company called HomeAway, and we did start, we loaded a couple, you know, I just went online and I Googled vacation rental, you know, rentals, and HomeAway came up and I saw it. So we listed our properties on there, and a lot of our competition wasn't doing it. And you know what? It allowed me as a startup to kind of compete with the other, you know, big boys. And the beauty of it though, at the time, Will, is it really wasn't that expensive. We would list every property on there, you know, we paid the $500 or whatever it was to get listed. We would, you know, I'm sure HomeAway didn't approve of this, but we would, you know, get a couple key properties that we would get the kind of the highest, you know, I think we paid for 16 photos. So it sorted us to the top. And that generated so many leads. Our acquisition cost per guest was like nothing. And we had, I remember one point counting how many leads, we had over 80,000 guest inquiries over one summer.
Okay.
To give you an idea of like the volume we were getting. Now this is later on, years down the road, but the fact that HomeAway, look, a lot of people have, you know, some things to say about HomeAway and the OTAs in general and things like that. Mm-hmm. But had we, you know, not started back then and the kind of the pricing model wasn't set up that way, I don't think we would have been as successful as we were. But we were able to, we filled our calendars all the time. We had no problems on the guest side. So really, to me, I realized for us to grow this business, it was all about inventory acquisition. If you don't have inventory on your shelves, you don't have a business, right? Yeah. You could have 1,000 guests coming to your website a day, but if you don't have any inventory on your shelves, again, you don't have a business.
That's really good. And that's one, it brings up a point that with Damian Sheridan, when I was speaking with him and a few others on the Book Direct Network and talking about, you know, what is a direct booking? And we talked about, like, I think a lot of people get so anti-OTA, which again, there's a give and a take with them, right? But I think what you said was perfect. It was the customer acquisition cost. And, you know, I would rather much have a 3% Airbnb customer acquisition cost than a, you know, $500 per lead that doesn't even book. You know, like I think there's a give and a take with that. So it's really good to hear. Now you kind of mentioned briefly, you know, inventory on the shelves. Okay. So you can have full calendars and you have, you know, let's say you have the 500 properties, but they're all full and you have 1,000 people coming through. There's 1,000 people coming through that can't book and you can't grow your business. So inventory, again, is so key. And so I want to talk to you. I'm so excited to dive into these five hacks that you've put together. I know you did, was it 21 hacks on your guys' webinar originally?
We did a webinar a couple weeks ago on 21 hacks, and we went through it super, super fast. So yeah, it's on our website. If anybody wants to listen to it, just Vintory.com.
Perfect. Yeah. And I'll make sure I'll find the link and we can get that pulled into the show notes here. Cause it was really good. It was really fast, but I think we can slow down for these top five right here. And I want to start off with number one. Let's kick it off.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it's the lowest hanging fruit. If you're a vacation rental manager right now, the lowest hanging fruit you can do is update your landing page, your property management page, your owner page, whatever you want to call it. But the first thing I would always recommend to do is first off, it blows my mind that very often people make it so difficult and challenging to find. If you go through the valuation of what one new property is worth in your rental program, you start doing the math on this, you'll look at it totally differently. And we can talk about that later. But what I would actually recommend doing is putting like a button in the upper right-hand corner that says, you know, partner with us, list your home, something like that, that's, you know, the contrasting color that gets them to that landing page. That is key number one. When they actually go to that landing page, update it first off, you know, and follow the best practices. We actually have a guide. If you email me, Brooke, B-R-O-K-E at Vintory.com, I will actually email you a copy of that guide, but it's an infographic that goes over the best practices of a landing page. So first up, it's like, you know, update your, get a nice, good hero image that kind of depicts your brand, right? Mm-hmm. You want to have a form above the fold. Don't bury, like, don't have an email address at the bottom of the, you know, the page. Have a form above the fold. Don't ask too many questions, right? So often people will list like 30 questions because they want all this information. You know, just ask whatever you need, the basic essentials to make a decision, or at least to get a hold of them. You know, name, you know, maybe email, phone number, and then maybe property address or just notes, but keep it very simple. You want to have your USP, right? Your unique selling proposition. If you have trust icons, or what trust icon, example of a trust icon would be if you're an Airbnb super host, if you're A+ on the Better Business Bureau, if you're, you know, with the Chamber of Commerce, you know, Verma, anything that kind of helps build trust and credibility, you want to list it on there. And then what we recommend is actually going through and putting in there your, what we call, you know, your key features and benefits, like what sets you apart, what makes your company unique and different. And here's the thing, like, when we go through this exercise, when we meet with any new partner, we, you know, have this whole, we call it our key messaging report. We meet with them for a couple hours and we actually go through and really flush out what sets them apart. And a lot of them are like, you know, well, you know, I guess revenue management, but everybody does revenue management now. And I'm like, but here's the thing. If nobody else is communicating it, highlight it, right? Make it, you know, point it out, that show what you're, you know, that you do these things and highlight those kind of features. You know, if you do triple inspections, you know, do that, you know what I mean? Whatever sets you apart, there's key features and benefits, you know, list each one of them. And then there's a whole other series of different things, but I could take up the entire show just describing it. But again, yeah, my whole point is update that landing page, because you have organic traffic already coming to your site. You have owners that are coming to your site right now, and you just don't have, most people don't have a good funnel to kind of optimize them and capture them. And one little last little like kind of kicker is put chat on there. Chat does convert instantly, you know, and there's tons of different chat bots out there you can use. Our Vintory platform has chat built into it as well, but it will increase your conversion rates immediately from day one.
100%. And I'm going to speak as a testimonial to this, because watching that webinar with you guys, we immediately changed our whole, like, our website was immediate, like, totally guest facing in the beginning, which is great to have. But right now, like you said, we don't really need to have a guest face. Like, we're going to have it in the future, but we don't need it right now. This is not our problem, is getting bookings. We got bookings. Right. We're full. We're great. Life's good. Owners are happy. But for new owners to get on, we didn't have anything like that set up. And we immediately made those changes. And I'm not even kidding you. Every organic piece of traffic we had come to our website, we at least got, I think, a good like 40% return on that change, just because like we would get like one person maybe submit, and then we had 20 in like a day. We're like, oh, this is good. Like, it's really easy. It's really simple. And I think putting that trust part on there too, because we did, you know, our partners, like a little strip there, just kind of showing like who we work with, Airbnb, Vrbo, Noise Aware, Safely, whatever, you know, and that does really help. We had a lot of people comment, what are these things? I've seen them on, you know, Facebook groups, or I've seen them listed with a friend or at a property I stayed at. There's a lot of cool ways that you could do that. And I think it was, yeah, just want to be a testimony to your guys' your points there, because they work. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're perfect. So, okay, let's go to point number two, though. I want to hear more.
All right, let's drill down. Data, 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 data. So again, 50% of all marketing comes down to data. So, you know, where do you get that data list? And this is why we have 5 data scientists on our team. Literally 10% of our entire staff is our data scientists, because it's so important. So what I would recommend, you know, it's like, all right, who are you going after? So that there's a couple different ways you can get this. The first is like tax records, right? You know, a lot of states and counties and things like that have public tax records. You can download data. Obviously, it's free. That's the cheapest place and the best place to start going. Often it's tied and affiliated with your MLS service. If you have a real estate wing or division, you can, you know, pull it from there. But sometimes it can be cumbersome. Sometimes you can only download like one record at a time. And that's just not feasible. So the next area we would recommend going to is just a list broker. There's tons of them out there. If you just Google list broker, there's Exact Data. If you just Google them, there's InfoUSA. There's a bunch of them out there. The key though with list brokers is twofold. First, what you want to do is you want to make sure that you're asking for absentee owners. Absentee owners are where the mailing address and the property address are different. And that is usually an indicator of a real estate investor or a second home. Second, what you want to do is a lot of these companies, you can actually do what's called email and phone appends. Get that. Even if you're not going to email them, even if you're not going to call them and things like that, you still want those. And I'll explain why in a little bit, why that's important. From there, there's a couple different places you can go. So in many kind of cities and towns and things like that, if they require a tax, a permit, you can actually request from that county, from that town, whatever city, municipality, whatever happens to be, you can actually request the vacation rental permit list. Now, they are going to push back on you. They do it. They make it very challenging in most towns. Sometimes they'll literally make you go down there and actually like pay by check. And you have to like, I literally one local county courthouse, they gave it to me on a CD-ROM. I'm like, I don't even have a CD, you know, I don't even know where to play this and download this thing, you know? So they don't have to make it easy. But here's what you need to do is quote the Freedom of Information Act, and they have to release it to you. So if you mention that, they will, but again, they won't make it easy. And then the last place you can get data is you can actually hire people. We recommend Upwork is a great place to hire these kind of people, but you can actually scrape the OTAs. Now Airbnb masks their addresses. Verbo, I think like 70 or 80% of the addresses are get. And then some of the other ones you can get all the addresses. And what you do though is you want to overlay all this data, right? So this is why you need a data scientist. So again, I'd recommend going to Upwork. Unless you've got mad Excel skills, you're going to have to hire somebody on Upwork to do this. But what you're doing, Will, is you're overlaying all this data on top of each other. So now you have the property address from the OTA, but and a lot of the information that comes from there is pretty impressive. It shows you if they're a professional property manager, if they're an RBO, how many bedrooms, what their number of reviews are, what their review scores are, ADR. It gives you tons of data for filtering and segmenting in the future. But when you get this and you start overlaying it all the other stuff, because again, remember, you're only getting the property address from the OTAs, and all the other data is helping you match and get the mailing address and all the other contact information. But at least this gives you kind of a really good data set. And then what we recommend doing is actually segmenting your list. And you can segment it a couple of different ways. And again, I'm going to like the pro version here. But so you can segment it by what we call like our A targets, our B targets, and our C targets. Typically, we like to hit our A targets on a monthly basis. Our B targets, we like to hit on a quarterly basis. And our C targets, we hit on an annual basis or semi-annual basis. And this, when I say we, I'm meaning, well, this is the strategy we do on behalf of our partners at Vintory. So you can do it that way. And then you can even go one step further is you can actually start segmenting by personas. So we have like 3, 4, 5, 6 different personas that we set up, and we can actually change the messaging that we're sending to the personas. But because what we want to do is we want to address the pain points of each one of those personas. So like RBO Ruby is going to be a very different pain point than competitor Carla or venture-backed Victor, you know, those so you can actually change the messaging directly to that. But again, I'm getting way ahead of myself, and that's like kind of pro level stuff. But those are the kind of things we do here at Vintory for our partners, is really kind of segmenting those lists and changing up the messaging based on the personas.
Hey, I hope you guys are enjoying this episode, and I wanted to drop in quickly to let you know that our partners at Jetstream have some of the best-in-class technology that sits at the heart of the guest experience with a focus on generating revenue for your property assets. With their platform, your property gets the best-in-class tech and integrations to remote access, guest screening, booking protection, and payment processing. Better yet, their team does all of the hard work of 24/7 guest communication and content creation. So go ahead, click the link in the show notes so you can jump on board today and take advantage of their professional hospitality team. Now, we're back to the episode.
With all that information, you could definitely tell this is what you do for a living. Like, this is, like, just watching you go, I'm like, man, this guy, like, it's on, it's memory. Like, you knew it, like, at the back of your hand, just watching you see it. So that's really cool. And I want to, like, ask, I guess, the for a person like us, so, like, We've done the mailing lists. We've gathered some data, you know, whether it's absentee owners with emails and all this other stuff, and we create campaigns to kind of hit those pain points like you're talking about. But my big question, because I personally want to know, I'm pretty sure people listening want to know, how do you know if data is good data? Like, all this stuff is great, like Vrbo or scraping the OTAs is good, but like when it comes to public tax records or anything like that, how do you know if this is actually good, like, information that is useful?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's actually a great question, because data, especially now where you're seeing, you know, so many homes are selling,
yeah,
it is becoming outdated. And it is true. I mean, you just have to constantly update it. I don't think there's any good way to know other than just using different sources. So we've probably tested, I would say, from data brokers, probably a half a dozen to eight different data brokers. And we've just got a good comfort level with the one we're currently using. It took us a while to kind of get to that, you know, that company. Now, you can ask these data brokers, you know, they're all going to tell you the same thing. It's so funny. I ask them every single time. I'm like, how do I know your data is the freshest? So, like, we update it every 24 hours. You know what I mean? It's like, you really can't, other than trial and error. But there are certain things you can do where you can, like, you can run it through different software products and different services out there to just make sure that it is matching with the postal addresses, just to kind of save on some of the returns. So there's a bunch of different sites out there that do that.
Yeah. There's just so much to unpack. I'm just thinking, man, like, to imagine that there is a job position called data broker, like, that. I never thought I would hear that. And so hearing that today, I'm like, wow, someone really created a data broker position where you just do this. So crazy. Well, let's hit point number three. And I think, for anyone who's listening, just to recap on all this stuff, I think it's really important that if you do have questions on this, if you're a property manager yourself, whether you have 100 or 5 or 1 property, there's a lot of resources on their website, and we'll link everything. So, you know, make sure to follow through on others on this content.
Absolutely. And I'll just kind of talk about that. So we put so much free content on our website, on our blogs, on our videos, our learning studios videos and training lessons and things like that. I mean, my whole, you know, motto from the beginning is help, don't sell. So we've been giving so much information. I literally give the keys to, like, how to do this, you know, online, because I know it's difficult. I know it's challenging. I have no problem giving this information out to everyone to do it themselves. I'm not, like, we don't have any secret sauce, really, you know, for what we do. It's just a lot of hard work. I mean, we have 50 people on our team doing all this for our partners, right?
Yeah.
And really allow, kind of leveling the playing field, allowing the kind of small mom and pop shops to compete, you know, and go head to head against them. So I give all the content out there on our website. Feel free to take a look at it and do it. But I also know how hard it is. And I also know, I've been in your shoes. I know the bandwidth issues. I know that vacation rental managers are wearing 20 different hats. It's, you know, and I know what's going to happen is they don't have the bandwidth and the time and the expertise to do it. So hopefully, you know, that pays back and they end up calling us and have, you know, just hiring us to do it for them. But again, if you want to do it on your own, the information is there.
Well, I was going to actually, before we get into point number three, I want to ask about Vintory itself, because I think we cover a lot of your past, but we haven't really touched on Vintory, like, other than this is all what you guys are doing for your partners, and you have 50 staff members. But what are, like, I heard, so you guys got accepted as one of the top 3 finalists for the VR Tech Awards, right? And believe
We did. Yeah. France. We just said earlier about an hour or two ago, we just got made the top three for VR Tech Awards. So we are going to be going to Lake Annecy, France to present, us and two other companies. And really super honored and humbled and excited to get that award. So it's really, really exciting. So September 16th and 17th will be in France presenting against the two other companies. So really, really grateful for that.
Yeah. So what is this software that you guys are building on the back end? Is this going to be something that as a company, it's going to streamline this process, I'm assuming, or what's it look like for you guys?
Yeah. And I apologize. I probably should have gone right into that after give my background. Yeah. So Vintory we are a sales and marketing platform designed to do one thing and one thing only, and that's help professional property managers grow their inventory. So when I started this about 2.5 years ago, it was just me. We just did it as like almost like a consulting business. It was like a marketing agency where we were helping people, really everything I've learned over the last 14 years of being, in the vacation rental industry, of like showing them how to, grow. And what we would do is I always say we Frankensteined a bunch of like off the shelf type software solutions out there and put it all together, and then ended up, having, kind of learning what our partners wanted. Right. And, so we were one part marketing agency, one part like off the shelf type software solutions. And then I realized, kind of using these, using HubSpot and CallRail and Unbounce and all these different solutions out there, it was good, but didn't really check all the boxes of what I wanted to do. So what we were able to do is actually self-fund, or go figure, customer fund our business, and able to kind of build out the software product that we wanted. And we did that kind of behind the scenes, and we iterated, we were testing it with our partners. And we built an incredible software product. So the software product, it's a CRM with sales and marketing automation built into it. Again, designed to help vacation rental managers grow their inventory. So again, we are still one part marketing agency where we're managing kind of this omni-channel marketing approach on behalf of our partners. Yeah. But we're also, we built out this really cool tech stack and this really cool CRM and sales and marketing platform that really helps nurture and develop the leads that you get. Simple things like you literally just drag and drop like your lead into send contract, and it'll automatically, what we actually do is put their management contract in our software, and it'll automatically merge in all the fields. It'll send the contract automatically to the to your prospect. Once they sign it, you get notified, you just drag it to closed one, and then it sets up a whole bunch of automation to kind of do onboarding, to kind of help your team do all the onboarding steps that need to happen. Wow. So it's really slick. It's very inexpensive, and it's a great product. And I'm sure at one point we'll talk about the value of inventory and just talk about why there's such a solid ROI on it.
Well, I was going to say that sounds incredible. I didn't even think about that part. Because onboarding an owner, there's so many different ways you can do it. But I think a lot of hosts or property managers, as they evolve, the process gets streamlined at the throughout time, but in the beginning, it's not very slick, like you just said. So no pun intended for everyone listening. But so that's actually really cool. We'll dive into that. I definitely want to get into that because I think that itself is just I'm going to geek out for a second. But we talk about experiences for the guests, right? Always creating moments and experiences. But I think a lot of the times owners even get left out on that side. Like, you should be creating experiences for them, and that experience should be ease of getting onboarded with you. They don't have to fill out 20 pieces of paperwork over and over and over again and submit new things and submit this and go back here and go do that. Like, it should be pretty slick. That to me is like, it's an experience in itself. So if you can take away the ease and intention with them there, that's always my opinion. I think experiences with guests, owners, neighbors, communities, those are all really important. So glad to hear that's part of Vintory. So yeah, makes me excited. Agree more. Yeah. Awesome. Well, all right. Point number three, we got a little distracted, but yes. I'm back. We're back. So let's jump into it.
All right. So number three would be direct mail, right? So direct mail, the vacation rental industry is one of the few industries where direct mail still works. But again, we talked about this before, the key is consistency. So we would recommend, again, hitting your A targets every month, your B targets on a quarterly basis, and your C targets on a annual or semi-annual kind of cadence. But yeah, vary it up, do different things. Postcards, we're still big believers in big 6x11, like high quality, good looking images. follow a lot of those best practices. We talked about the landing page, you know, obviously call to action, you know, give them multiple different ways to reach out to you, whether it be through email, through text. More and more people are like, they prefer to actually texting. And then you want to put those same things in there, the risk reversals, USPs, trust icons, social proof, all the kind of core elements of your landing page. But again, vary it up. We actually have 12 of these robots. These robots write handwritten letters that look, you would never know they weren't written by a person. And those stupid little handwritten letters get an incredible response rate. But again, you would want to vary it up. Some other strategies we recommend is like market reports. So we love Key Data Dashboards. We're big fans of Key Data Dashboards. Partner with them, sign up with them, get some of your industry data, your market data, and create a market report. So we actually create an 8.5 by 11, almost like postcard. So like an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, but it's like postcard stock. And we actually print a market report on there. And we send that out to every one of our prospects. It positions you as the expert in the industry and in the market. And again, it's, you may not get that call to action right there, but when they are ready to make a move there and you're top of mind, they're going to reach out to you. There's a whole different series of things you can do. Even like FedEx envelopes, you can do just a basic, I mean, sometimes the best responses are actually the simplest. We've had a lot of success with just a very basic vanilla, we call it our legal letter. It literally is just a very simple type letter that just kind of introduces themselves and just say, you know, but very short and sweet. Those things work. Other kind of things we've done in the past, you know, you can get like, you know, you can send swag, like your A targets, you can start sending swag and, you know, logoed things. But again, just consistency, you know, be in front of them all the time. And it does work, you know, over time though, but you have to be consistent. And if you just do the basic math, I mean, you know, so let's just say you send 1,000 postcards. Let's say the average postcard costs $1. And let's say, you know, you follow the Direct Marketing Association, what they say, the average response rate in the Direct Marketing Association is 0.5%. So 1,000 postcards, $1,000 will get you 5 leads. If you kind of, your conversions are equal to where most people are, you have about a 20% conversion, that gives you 1 deal. So $1,000, you know, to give you 1 deal, you know, it doesn't sound like much, but trust me, that's great. Especially if you have kind of a high gross booking revenue property. What we found, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, but we found the average property manager ends up netting about 10% of the projected gross booking revenue. So if you've got a property that's doing $50,000 in gross booking revenue, you're going to make $5,000 in year one. But we also know that the average property stays in a rental program for 10 years. So that means 5,000 times 10 years, that's, you know, $50,000 off a $1,000 investment. I will take that all day long.
Yeah, I was going to say that is a deal I will sign up for left and right. I want to ask, because I, maybe it's just the millennial in me, but I think I'm a millennial. I don't really remember what the age tipping points are for all that stuff. But when I get mail, if it's not a bill or something about voting, I throw it away. And so what makes you think that, you know, what makes people actually not throw these direct mails letters away? Cause who knows? I probably have gotten some in the past, but I'm a complete not junk, throw away, shred, burn, whatever.
The first thing, it's got to get your attention, right? And it has to be relevant to you. So yes, maybe at that point in time, it's not important to you. But if you were thinking about, you know, making a move in your home and you see this letter, it, you know, let's just say that you just got a bill, you know, an invoice from your current management company, and they're nickel and diming you to death. Right. Yeah. And you're like, you know, maybe it is time for me to, you know, start interviewing other management companies. So a lot of it does just come down to relevance and timing. And that's why, again, that goes back to the consistency principle. But the other thing is, you know, so with marketing, what they say is 50% is the list, 30% is a compelling offer, and 20% is the general copy. So again, it goes back, number two, you want to have a really good compelling offer. So say what you will about Vacasa, they had a great compelling offer, and it was something to the effect of, we'll beat your current management company or current numbers by $5,000 guaranteed. Yep. I mean, that's a good compelling offer. And there's all different types of compelling offers you can do. but have something that kind of gives them a reason to ask. I've heard another one says, we will not charge a commission. We'll charge a 0% commission for the first 6 months, or we won't charge any commission if we don't beat your current numbers. You know what I mean? So give them some kind of reason while you're standing over that trash can with your junk mail that kind of keeps them from dropping it into the trash can and put it onto the counter and kind of follow up later.
I love that. I even have a friend in Texas that says, I will not take a commission if I don't get you 5-star reviews. If I get anything below 5-star, no commission. That's it. And it does great. Like, he's the man with, like, him and his team have nothing but 5-stars, and they have thousands of them. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, they do really good when it comes, 'cause that's, yeah, it's a good one, but it's a risky one. I told him, I was like, man, did you think about that at first? He's like, oh yeah. But when we set up our company goals, our mission statements, our core values, you know, we want nothing but the best for our guests, for our owners. And that's what it is. So
perfect example of a compelling offer. So another example is my buddy, David Angotti. He owns a company called SmokyMountains.com. They used to be in the management business. Now they're just a kind of a niche OTA, but when they were in the management business, they had 100% satisfaction guaranteed. If you're ever dissatisfied for any reason, you can call and cancel anytime, and we will refund you the last month's, our commissions if you're not satisfied. So they had a really high conversion rate. So that was a great, compelling offer. It was also a risk reversal, if you think about it. There's some great different examples out there, but again, you gotta have something.
For sure. Awesome. This is really good stuff. I'm curious now to point 4 and 5.
All right.
There's so much that we've just uncovered. So I'm like, ooh, I don't know if we have, how is there more to cover? Like, this is good stuff.
All right. So number 4, let's do is custom audiences. So, or list-based retargeting. So you can do this through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you know, all the social channels. And if you're not familiar with this is where you can upload a list of your targets into the social channels, and they can serve up display ads directly to those targets. So this is not like, you know, traditional Facebook advertising where you're kind of triangulating based on their interest and likes and location and stuff like that. You are actually serving up ads directly to these people. So we would recommend actually doing this in advance of like direct mail. So what we would do is say, you know, do this about a week before you start sending out your direct mail. You want to start, you know, serving up these display ads. But this is also when we were talking about data, why I said get emails and phones, because if you have emails and phones, you can start serving up these, because Facebook will, the reason they ask for your phone number, it's because that's your unique identifier. That's your social security number, if you will. Right. You know, that is how they're, it's not for double authentication and security and all these things. No, it's for, because they can pick who you are specifically. So if I have your phone number, Will, I can serve up a display ad directly to you. Yeah. By doing this, you know, this custom audiences, it has this boost effect, right? It's that definition of synergy, 1 + 1 = 3. So, you know, what we would recommend is, again, sending out the custom audiences to their social feeds in advance, and then hit them with direct mail. And then you want to continue to run those custom audiences on all the social channels. And then we would actually recommend hitting them with email afterwards. And again, it has this definite boost effect. But the one thing we didn't talk about right there is, I think, hack number 5, which is the IP targeting. So,
yeah.
Will, you familiar with IP targeting?
No. See, like, I should be, you know, as a tech guy, I should be more into this stuff. But this is the one area where it gets a little past my expertise. So I'm curious to know.
Yeah. So if the CIA were ever getting into marketing, this is the channel that they would do, right? It's called IP targeting. So what we do is we get that target list. Remember, we've identified our personas. We've identified our A targets, our B targets, our C targets. And then what we want to do is we want to upload this list into an IP targeting software. And if you go online, there's about 3 or 4 different companies out there that do this. And what they can do is they can actually match the IP addresses of your targets. So as long as you give them their name, their address, they can actually 30 to 60% of the time, they can actually get the IP address of those homeowners. But remember, this is where they live, not the property owner, or not the the property itself. So now what we can do is we can start actually serving up ads directly to those people, just like we're doing custom audiences as they surf the web. So this can be, we can put it on ESPN. We can push it on, Weather Channel, CNN, Fox News, whatever it happens to be, local news stations. We can serve up those display ads. And really, we don't see a ton of interaction with those. unless you have a really good compelling offer. It's more of like kind of that unconscious, you know, you're building the brand. And again, if you do this in advance of the direct mail and the email, you get that boost effect on those direct mail and the email channels as well. So again, you do this in this wholesome kind of, you know, omni-channel approach. It really kind of works really, really well together.
Well, I think the way you're saying it with omni-channel, you know, focus is really key, because you know how many times I'm on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok even, and I'm seeing the same type of ad for a certain diet supplement or a certain product or a clothing brand or whatever it may be. And at the time, there's been a lot of times like, nope, don't need it. Nope, don't want it. Nope, don't want it. But the one time I'm like, dang, that actually looks really good. I want that. I want to go get that. I want that product. And I make the decision to click. You know, it does have that effect. Like, you see it enough and it starts to become more of like a, you know what, I don't even know if it's like a trust thing, but it's like you kind of start to trust it a little bit more, that it is in front of you all the time. You are aware of it. It's not brand new. It's not scary. So
well, let's just say you see, you're seeing on your social feed, you're seeing on your, you know, as you surf the web, this company that you've never heard of before. And then you get a direct mail piece in the mail. You're like, hey, I've heard of them. You know what I mean? You have a little bit more trust. And then, you know, you look in there in your email, there's an email from that company. It's just, it all kind of comes together and it helps. Yeah. It helps with conversions. But I'm going to give you one more bonus hack. All right. Is that all right, Will?
Oh, I'm totally okay with bonuses. Let's all right. do it.
Bonus hack is retargeting. So we know the best performing landing pages out there, 80 to 95% of the time. So yes, we're trying to drive all this traffic to these landing pages, but we know 80 to 95% of the time, the people still aren't going to fill out the form. So you want to make sure you're using some kind of retargeting code. So Google Tag Manager is kind of our best pick, where it can manage obviously the you know, all the retargeting from Google, but also Facebook and all the social channels. It just makes it nice and easy to manage that. And you can even, there's some, we actually have at Vintory, we actually do what's called direct mail retargeting. So somebody goes to our website, we're actually able to match their IP address. Within 48 hours later, we can actually send a postcard directly to them, you know, bringing them back. And the funny thing is, this actually happened to me. So I was surfing the web. I was looking for new patio furniture on Wayfair. I went to all the way to almost buy it, and I ended up I didn't pull the trigger. And yep. Guess what? 2 days later, 3 days later, I had a big postcard with the exact same patio furniture I was looking at was sitting in my on a postcard. And the company we use for direct mail retargeting here at Vintory, that's one of their biggest clients, is Wayfair. So it worked. I ended up buying that patio furniture. So it's kind of a cool, another little bonus hack.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think it's something we can learn, because I think channels like Airbnb, Wayfair, Amazon's really good at this, that abandoned cart type situations. Like, you get close to pulling the trigger, but you don't do it. Well, I did the same thing with Airbnb. I was looking in San Diego and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to go to San Diego. I'll leave it alone. Well, guess what? Directly, you know, a day later, wake up to my email and there's San Diego's calling, and you know, it's an email from Airbnb. And then of course a notification pops up on my app and or my phone. And it's a good refresher and reminder. It's like, yeah, at the moment I didn't feel like, you know, clicking the trigger of the book now button. But now this morning, now that maybe I'm not as tipsy from the night before and making a dumb decision as I'm sober minded or whatever it may be, I can make that decision and go for it. It's kind of like a good refresher. And I think we can learn a lot as property managers, not only for our guest, you know, marketing, but for this type of stuff that we're doing with owners and inventory. It's really key. So we're always learning from other industries, and I think it's a good thing to do. But I have a question for you to kind of top this episode off. What is, let's say, the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway as you guys are partnering up with all these companies? Like, I'm seeing, like, talk about omnipresent. You guys with Vintory itself are omnipresent. I see you on Instagram. I see you on LinkedIn. I see you on Facebook. I see you guys everywhere. So what is the biggest takeaway that your partners are getting right now? What is the, I guess you kind of mentioned earlier, what's the value of a good portfolio like this to a vacation? Like, we talked about, you know, that comparison, you know, if you spend $1,000, you get $50,000. It's a really good return. But what is the real value? How do you get this, like, takeaway, you know, business acquisition type value for your guys' partners? Because this is something that we kind of covered in the pre-chat, but how do you determine that? What's the biggest,
keep, keep going. Explain.
Yeah, maybe I think I'm asking two questions at once. Okay. But what's the biggest takeaway that your guys' partners are getting right now with Venturi, with all these new things happening? But then with this return or these takeaways that they're getting as a company, how can you determine the value of a proper portfolio?
Got it. So, I mean, the first thing is, you know, adding inventory is the biggest way that you can move the needle in your business right now, right? So most of our partners that we have, most vacation rental managers currently right now, they have no inventory on their shelves, right? But they've got all these people, you know, these shoppers, if you will, going to their website looking for inventory, and they don't have it in there. So by adding one new property, your acquisition cost on those guests is virtually zero, because you already have this, you know, like right now, like I have a property in Bethany Beach, Delaware. I had 2 weeks cancel. I jacked the rates up by 25%, and I literally booked both weeks within 12 hours. I had another cancellation a couple of weeks later. I jacked rates up again, you know, even additional. And I had it booked within 2 hours. So again, you have this existing traffic already coming to it. So again, it's found money at this point. So every new property, we say it's like, adding one property is like booking 100 guests. And if you look at the value of inventory in general, it can be a couple of things. So like I had one partner that told me, said, Brooke, I never want to grow more than 100 properties. You know, he's like, here's what I want you to do. He's like, I just want better inventory. I want to get better and better and better. I'm never going to get more than 100. So every year, what we did is we said, look, we're going to take the top, kind of those top 10 properties that he has. We're going to replicate those. And we're gonna prune the bottom 10 properties. So every year he's gonna have 100. He's still gonna have 100 properties, but he's gonna increase his gross booking revenue, you know, by 20% or so. And then not only that, his margins are gonna go up even exponentially. So it's a lot of it, this whole inventory acquisition in general comes down to, it's like, look, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to like become a huge company. It's just getting better inventory and having, you know, better quality inventory, having better gross booking revenue, better commissions, and then better margins. But again, if you, I would argue there's not a better ROI on the planet than adding one new property to a rental program. And I started kind of doing the math a little bit before on this, but if you add a property that's doing $50,000 in gross booking revenue, again, it's going to, you know, the average vacation rental management company gets 10% margins. So that's $5,000, you know, in year one. But the average property stays in a rental program. Well, it depends what your churn is. So yeah. Churn is what percentage of inventory do you lose in a given year? So if you lose, let's say 10%, you just divide 1 divided by 10%. That gives you your lifetime in years. So 1 divided by 10% is 10 years. So that 5,000 times 10 years is $50,000. But it's actually more than that, because each year your gross booking revenue, you know, goes up. And it's going to appreciate it. And typically we're seeing it appreciate 5%, 7%. Shoot, this last year, I think many people are up 25, 30%. Yeah. So that number. And then what's going to happen is, if and when you ever decide to sell your company, that's really what management companies are buying. So when Vacasa buys another management company, the guests are great and everything else. The team is great. Don't get me wrong. But really what they're buying is the actual management contracts. Yeah. And we've seen these management contracts go for anywhere between $9,000 and $25,000 or even more. Per contract. So think about that. If you have one property, one management contract, you know, that's, you know, between $9,000 and $25,000 is really the true value of that contract when you go to sell it. So you make money year after year after year. And then if and when you decide to sell your business, you're going to get a lump sum for every one of those.
Yeah, that's amazing. And we've heard a lot of cool success stories with that, you know, with, especially in the beginning of the pandemic, with a lot of people selling off a good chunk of either just inventory itself, not the company, but hey, we're going to sell a portion of our portfolio. They get that equity or cash flow or whatever you want to call it to keep their business afloat. And then they go out once the pandemic started recovering a little bit more, they went and scooped up more inventory and boom, they're back to, you know, getting more gross revenues again. So really good stuff. Really good stuff. Well, Brooke, we always say, you know, everything's in the show notes. You can click the links in the bottom, but I love to have our guests be able to do a shameless shout out. So number one spot for people to find you and get more information.
Yes, yeah, real simple. Just go to Venturi.com, VINTORY.com, or feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn as well. So yeah, I appreciate the time. This is fun.
Of course. Yeah, we're definitely, I think we have to revisit this. I want to maybe do like a part two or, you know, a follow-up interview with you on, you know, see when the tide of the industry changes a little bit, see if maybe we're scrambling to get bookings after a while and something happens. I don't know. We'll see, but it'll be a fun episode, part two. But thank you for being on the show. And for all the Slick Talkers who are listening, we'll be back again next week. So make sure to check everything out and we'll see you all again soon.
Thank you so much for listening. We love your support and want to provide the best we can to all our listeners. So please find us online, social media, and on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast.
Smart locks, smart thermostats, automation, and a solution for any hotel and vacation rental company. Our show partners at Operto are the leading solution for operators to enhance their operations by integrating with your property management software and making sure that all your smart devices create a contactless guest experience while streamlining your operations. So don't forget to check them out on their website, send me a message, or just let them know that we'll send you and you are in good hands. So get ready to enjoy another episode of Slick Talk the Hospitality Podcast and check out operto.com or go to the podcast website and see our partners page.